The question today is, who and what is Hebrews 6, 4, and 6 talking about? Well, let me just read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. And this has been a portion of Scripture, I'm sure, has caused many men a lot of problems. And there's been a lot of wrong interpretations concerning this. Let's just read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, as we read that scripture, there's definitely a warning involved in that scripture. But to understand it, you need to know the context of the book of Hebrews. I think Paul is the human instrument God used to pin down this. Doesn't matter if he didn't. It still moved on. Whoever wrote it was moved on by the Holy Ghost, as he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And it was God-breathed in 2 Timothy 3:16. And so as a result, we know that this is the Word of God. And it's for, but in context, it's written to the Hebrew professors. And I say professors because there's many people, even in that day, who made professions of faith, and yet they did not possess the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Therefore, many people were professors and not possessors, just like today in our churches. We have more professors than we do possessors of the Lord Jesus. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so in that sense. And so, therefore, it's written to the early Hebrew professors. And throughout the book, there's a call for examination, just like Paul called for examination in every epistle he wrote, every book he wrote. He called in, and he did it personally in 2 Corinthians 13:5, where he said, examine yourself. But yet, even though he didn't use the word examine many times throughout the Scripture, there's verses that call for examination. Paul did that. Yet he called them saints because they professed to be. He gave them benefit of the doubt. He called them brethren and he called them saints. And yet he still said, examine yourself. So now when he comes to Hebrews chapter number six, he's talking about here going on, leaving. He's talking about in chapter 5, he spoke about the fact that they're not growing like they should. They have need of milk again and not of strong meat. They can't handle the strong things of God. But he said, hey, therefore, let us go on to perfection. Let's leave the basics and let's go on to perfection if we're really saved. In other words, is what it says. And in other words, let's go on to the substance. Let's go on to Jesus Christ, the real. Because that's what Hebrews does. It points back to all the Old Testament types and pictures and shadows. And it says the real is where it's at. And that's in Jesus. So, therefore, we need to leave behind those things that Paul says as Christians. He's saying there in verse number 3, and this we will do if God permit. And you notice he said he uses the word we. In other words, the word we indicates that we, me, Paul, I, Paul, in essence, and you, or if he did write the book, and also you, saints of God, who are saved, there is that sense in which let us go on to perfection. And this we will do. Now, he's talking to the we, if you please. So, Paul didn't let their dullness in hearing and unskillfulness in the word hinder him, but he said, if God permit or if God allow. Now, Paul had reason to fear that some of these Hebrew professors had provoked God so that they would not grant them any more light. He wouldn't grant them any more light. Luke chapter 8, verse number 18, he said, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And he also brings out the fact that to him who much is given, much is required. But there's a strong warning given here in verses 4 and 5 as Paul is speaking to them. Let us go on to perfection. You notice, let us, the saints of God, who he's talking about. In other words, the motive to obedience is drawn from the danger of apostasy, of falling away from the faith. Now, apostasy is not being lost after you're saved, because there's no such thing as being lost after you're saved. Even Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, 22, and 23 talks about many going to say in that day, in verse 22, meaning at the judgment, great white throne judgment, have we not prophesied in thy name, preachers? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in my name? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, so verse 23, that word where he said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, that means I never knew you at any time. You never were saved, is what he was saying. So you cannot be saved and then lost. So this is not talking about that here. But let us go on to perfection. And the motive is drawn from the danger of apostasy. Professors are in danger of apostatizing and not continuing in God's Word. John chapter 8, he said, if you'll continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. But professors have a danger of apostasy. And that's no doubt to whom Paul is referring here to in verses 6, chapter 6, 4, and 5 of Hebrews. Because he says in verse 4, for it is impossible for those. You notice he changes from the us and the we to the those. He's referring to those who had professed Christ as their Lord, but they were not saved. Now, these were not your ordinary, everyday professors. They were a class who had enjoyed great privileges. In fact, they had five advantages, grace, if you please. Five advantages of grace here that's mentioned here in verses 4 and 5. They mention five things. Now, Titus 2:11 said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So these are a special class of people, professors who had enjoyed great privileges. First of all, he said, verse number four of chapter Hebrews 6, he said, impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now, the word enlightened means to give light or knowledge by teaching. It means as these Hebrews listened to the message of the New Testament, the Holy Spirit enlightened their minds and hearts to clearly understand the message. They had been filled with saving knowledge. Now, I'm saying knowledge, not saving faith, but knowledge. And they'd had a clear understanding of the gospel. In other words, they said they were once enlightened. And that word once, the construction of it means once for all. Didn't need any more understanding to be saved as far as understanding. They just needed saving faith, and they needed Him to be saved. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. You see, it wasn't works. It's not of works. It's the Lord. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath light, he that hath not the Son of God hath not light. In fact, these being once enlightened means the scales had been pulled from their eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4 said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The little G-O-D. Of this world, the devil. He blinds you to keep you from getting the truth. But these people had been enlightened. They'd had light or knowledge of by teaching. They'd been given that knowledge by teaching. And so they're not your ordinary professors he's referring to here. And I just want to insert here some people believe today that if you've ever been dealt with, you're going to be saved. You're one of God's elect. Folks, I want to tell you, God's elect are those that are in Christ, that have come God's way, and that's through Holy Ghost conviction and His work, His sanctifying work that brought them to the end of themselves, and they were convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and saved by the grace of God. And so therefore, but these men, even though they had been dealt with, and yet they didn't come in. Somebody says God only deals with the elect. Well, that shows you here these were not in the elect because they rejected. They came to a point they turned away. They apostatized. But they had been once enlightened. They had the grace of God. They had a superior advantage to a lot of people today. And so he says those, not we, not us, but those, meaning these people who had professed, who had never been saved, if they were once enlightened. And then he said, verse 4, and have tasted the heavenly gift. You see, they tasted. Now, to taste something means to have a personal experience. When it's tasting, spiritually, he's talking about. You know, one can taste food and never eat it. Thus, you experience it, but you never it never gives you one bit of strength. Just taste it, and you don't. It doesn't help you as far as strength is concerned. You don't digest it. You don't eat it. Now, he said here, tasted the heavenly gift. And that's referring to the ministry of the Holy Ghost of in John 16, 8 through 11, where he said, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So you see, these had become acquainted with the gospel. They had been dealt with. They had been convicted. It's called heavenly because it comes from heaven and leads one to heaven, which Judaism could not do. Now, tasting does not include eating, much less digesting, and turning into nourishment what is tasted. The eating is spoken of in the book of John chapter 6, verse 53 through 56. Here we find Jesus was dealing with a group of people here. Here, it's the remnant of those of the 5,000 he'd fed. They wanted to make him king because he'd fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said to them in verse 53 of John 6, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Didn't say taste. He said eat. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Notice eat, not just taste. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. In other words, he's talking about a wholehearted reception of Jesus Christ as Lord, partaking of him, eating of him, not just tasting. Now these that Paul is writing to in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, they tasted, but they would not eat. In fact, they hadn't eaten. They were apostatized. And those that Jesus was speaking to in John chapter 6, they come in verse number 60 and said, many therefore as disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And verse 66 said, verse number 66, he said, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They apostatized. They tasted, but they would not eat. You see, those described here had a certain degree, understood and relished the revelation of mercy. Like the stony ground hearers, they received the word with a short-lived joy. Like the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, they saw the land and had the very fruit in their hand, but they turned back. These people were not an ordinary professor, but yet they're professors and not possessors. They're lost. Who? And what does Hebrews 6, 4, and 6 deal with? Lost people who have tasted the word of, they've tasted the good things of God, and these five things, the advantages of grace, but they were not your ordinary professors, and they were lost. They apostatized, and they went to hell. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.